Hello, folks, followers of Jesus, on this journey through 24 stories of the Story Bible by Pearl Buck. Amen. And we're on story 12. There's that number. On this Thursday, July 21st, we are in Galilee now with Jesus and the disciples. We've been wandering. He now knows the fate of John the Baptist. He and his disciples have headed out and realized their mission is more urgent than ever. And he stops and teaches along the way. Make sure he gets his message across. And we just left the section yesterday when he was teaching of the kingdom of God. And I loved the way Pearl Buck put that all together, is the way he teaches it. It's not just a saying, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. He's telling them stories each time he describes it. And I'll start today with what we finished up yesterday, the pearl, which we're all familiar with. The kingdom of God is like the precious pearl. And then we'll segue right into today and see how far we get. Jesus story 12, parables and miracles in Galilee. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl, and the man who seeks it before all other things is like a merchant who, seeking perfect pearls and finding one of great price, sells all he has to buy the perfect pearl. Thus, both the pearl merchant and the seeker of heaven give up all things for the one that is most important. Thus did Jesus talk in parables that day by the Sea of Galilee. And now, today's story. When evening came, he said to his disciples, "Come, let us cross over to the other side." The disciples sent away the multitude and took Jesus into a boat. As they cast off, they saw that even then the crowds were trying to follow, for many of them got into their own boats and rowed along behind them. Jesus was weary after his long day of teaching, and he fell asleep in the gently tossing boat. When they were far out from the shore, a great wind arose and churned the waters, so that the boat rocked and plunged with the buffeting of the gusts and the boiling waves. Towers of water dashed against it and over the sides to drench the disciples and their master. And the little ship began to fill. And the storm raged on. And Jesus slept. His disciples pulled at the oars with all their strength, but they made no headway against the howling wind and lashing waves. The gusts slapped at them unmercifully. The boat became dangerously full of water. But Jesus slept on. His followers did not want to waken him, yet their plight was getting desperate. At last they came to him and woke him from his sleep. "Master," they cried, "do you not care that we are dying?" Jesus rose up calmly and rebuked the winds. And to the sea, he said, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and over the sea there was a great calm. "Why are you so full of fear?" Jesus asked his disciples. "Have you still no faith?" But now they were fearful for another reason. They had seen their master heal, and they had seen him cast out devils. But the miraculous calming of a storm was something they had never seen before. They were filled with awe. "What manner of man is this?" they asked each other, marveling. "Even the winds and the sea obey him." Afterwards, the journey safely ended. Jesus and his disciples spent some time in Gadara on the far side of the sea, healing and teaching. And then they returned by boat to Capernaum. Crowds of people were waiting for Jesus on the shore, and received him gladly, for they were now eager to hear his words and ask his healing help. One of the people who most urgently wanted to see him was a man named Jairus, a leader in the synagogue at Capernaum. He threw himself down at the healer's feet and begged Jesus to come to his house, for his only daughter, who was about 12 years of age, lay dying on her sickbed. "I pray you, come with me," Jairus begged of Jesus. "My little daughter is lying at the point of death. Come with me, I beseech you, and lay your hands upon her so that she may be healed and live." Jesus turned at once and went with him. The crowd followed and thronged around him, pressing close upon him so that he could scarcely move. People jostled and clutched at him from every side. Jairus watched anxiously while Jesus made slow progress to his house, hampered in his every move. "Hurry, hurry," thought Jairus to himself, although he did not speak the words aloud. "My daughter may be dead before we get there." But it was impossible for anyone to hurry through the narrow, crowded streets. And even while Jairus waited, fighting back his anxiety, there was an unusual delay. In the crowd, there was a woman who had been trying desperately to reach Jesus and beg him for his help. For 12 years, she had suffered many things from her illness and from all the doctors she had gone to. But she had grown worse instead of better. And by this time, she had spent all she had on physicians and medicines. And when she heard the things concerning Jesus, she followed after him, pressing her way through the crowd to get closer to the healer. "If I may but touch his clothes," she was saying to herself, "I will be healed." And she had no doubt at all that this was so. At last, she came close enough so that she could reach out and touch the border of his robe. And immediately she felt her illness leave her. And she let others in the crowd push past her to throng around the master. Jesus looked around. "Who was that who touched my robe?" he asked. "It is not possible to say who touched you," his disciples answered. "You see the multitude pressing all around you? How can you say who touched me?" "I know someone with faith has touched me," Jesus answered. "For I felt the healing spirit flow from my body to another's." And he looked about to see the person who had touched him and been cured. When the woman saw that she could not escape his notice, she came forward and threw herself down at Jesus' feet. Trembling with awe and wonder, knowing what had happened within her, she told him before all the people why she had touched his robe and how she had been healed immediately. "Daughter, your faith has made you whole," Jesus said gently. "Go in peace." Before he had finished talking to her, a messenger came from the house of Jairus and pushed his way through the crowd toward the leader of the synagogue. "Your daughter is dead," the messenger said. "Trouble the master no more, for she is gone." Jairus cried out in his grief. But Jesus had heard what the messenger had said, and he turned to the sorrowing Jairus. "Do not be afraid," he said. "Only believe, and she will be made well." When at last he arrived at the house of Jairus, he motioned the crowd to stay outside, for they were still following him and would have pushed in after him if he had permitted it. And he went inside with Peter, James, and John. Mourners had already gathered to bewail the little girl's death. The house was a tumult of weeping and wailing. Jesus looked around at all the moaning people and said, "Why do you weep and make this noise? Do not weep. The little girl is not dead. She only sleeps." With that, the mourners ceased their lamentations long enough to laugh scornfully at Jesus, for they knew the girl was dead. They had seen her lifeless body. But Jesus firmly sent them out of the house and went into the little girl's room with her father and mother and his three disciples. He looked down at her where she lay and took her by the hand, and then he spoke, "Little maid, I say to you, arise." She opened her eyes and looked up into the smiling face of Jesus. And she got up at once and walked about the room. "Now, give her something to eat," said Jesus. Her parents nodded dumbly, for they were grateful and astonished beyond words. And Jesus left the house of Jairus and went back to the waiting crowd. And that concludes our second part of the 12th story of our Jesus stories, Parables and Miracles in Galilee. Hope you have a blessed day today. Tomorrow is Friday, and we'll be back again, and we'll finish up the 12th story. Until then, be blessed and have faith. And wherever you may go today, go in peace.